ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। स्टैंड रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भगवद् गीता चैप्टर 2 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड कंटेंट्स ऑफ द गीता समराइज्ड टेक्स्ट नंबर 31 स्वधर्मम् अपि चावेक्ष्य न विकम्पितुमर्हसि धर्म्याद्धि युद्धात् श्रेयोन्यत् क्षत्रियस्य न विद्यते। स्वधर्मम् अपि चावेक्ष्य न विकम्पितुमर्हसि धर्म्याद्धि युद्धात् श्रेयोन्यत् क्षत्रियस्य न विद्यते। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन कंसिडरिंग युअर स्पेसिफिक ड्यूटी एज अ क्षत्रिय यू शुड नो दैट there is no better engagement for you than fighting on religious principles, and so there is no need for hesitation. Purport: out of the four orders of social administration, the second order for the matter of good administration is called kshatriya. Kshat means hurt. One who gives protection from harm is called kshatriya. Trayate means to give protection. The kshatriyas are trained for killing in the forest. A kshatriya would go into the forest and challenge a tiger face to face and fight with the tiger with a sword. When the tiger was killed, it would be offered the royal order of cremation. This system has been followed even up to the present day by the Kshatriya kings of Jaipur state. The Kshatriyas are specially trained for challenging and killing because religious violence is sometimes a necessary factor. Therefore, Kshatriyas are never meant for accepting directly the order of sannyas or renunciation. Non-violence in politics may be a diplomacy, but it is never a factor or principle. In the religious law books, it is stated, Ahaveshu mitonyonyam jigam santo mahikshitah yuddhamana param shaktya swargam yantya paran muka yagyeshu pashavo brahman hanyante sasatam dvijaihi samskrita kila mantraischa tepi swargam avapnuvan. In the battlefield, a king or kshatriya, while fighting another king envious of him, is eligible for achieving heavenly planets after death, as the brahmanas also attain the heavenly planets by sacrificing animals in the sacrificial fire. Therefore, killing on the battlefield on religious principles and killing animals in the sacrificial fire are not at all considered to be acts of violence, because everyone is benefited by the religious principles involved. The animal sacrificed gets a human life immediately without undergoing the gradual evolutionary process from one form to another. And the kshatriyas killed on the battlefield also attain the heavenly planets, as do the brahmanas who attain them by offering sacrifice. There are two kinds of swadharma, specific duties. As long as one is not liberated, one has to perform the duties of his particular body in accordance with religious principles in order to achieve liberation. When one is liberated, one's swadharma, specific duty, becomes spiritual and is not in the material bodily concept. In the bodily conception of life, there are specific duties for the brahmanas and kshatriyas respectively, and such duties are unavoidable. Swadharma is ordained by the Lord, and this will be clarified in the fourth chapter. On the bodily plane, Swadharma is called Varnashram Dharma, or man's stepping stone for spiritual understanding. Human civilization begins from the stage of Varnashram Dharma, or specific duties in terms of the specific modes of nature of the body obtained. Discharging one's specific duty in any field of action in accordance with the orders of higher authorities serves to elevate one to a higher status of life. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Hare Krishna. So we welcome you for the Bhagavad Gita class. So all of you, it is very difficult to take out time, especially in the busy schedule of the Bombay life. It's really you have taken out time to come for the Bhagavad Gita class. So we'll try to speak something from the Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, verses 31st to 38. So as you know, after Arjuna surrenders to Lord Krishna, the beginning of the battle, in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, so then Krishna starts speaking. For the past few days, we have been seeing that how Krishna was instructing Arjuna on the signs of the soul. He was instructing on the very basic teaching, one of the first teaching of the Bhagavad Gita, that you are not the body, but you are the soul. But Krishna says that, Natve vaham jatu nasam natvam neme janadipa na chaiva na bhavishyama sarve vayamata param. Krishna says that never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor any of these kings in the battlefield. Nor in the future shall any of us cease to exist. So Krishna said that in the past we all existed. Myself, yourself and all the kings who are assembled in the battlefield. And at the present we can see that everyone is existing. And in the future also, all of us will continue to exist. So Krishna was instructing that we are not this body, but we are the eternal spirit soul. At the time of death, the soul leaves this body and takes up another body. But the soul is eternal. So in this way, the soul is transmigrating from one body to another body. Transmigrating through this 84 lakh species of life. So Krishna was, from the verse numbers 11 to 30, Krishna was instructing Arjuna based on this fact that you are not the body. So you should not lament for your relatives, because your relatives, it's not that they are going to die and this is the end of their life. They are eternal spirit soul. So they are not this temporary body, but they are the spirit soul. So you should not lament. So Krishna instructed based on the fact that you are not the body. But now, verses 31st to 38, Krishna is going to instruct Arjuna based on karma to gain pleasure and to avoid suffering. Krishna is basically going to tell Arjuna that you should perform your prescribed duty as a kshatriya. If you do not perform your prescribed duty as a kshatriya, then you will actually incur sinful reactions. And when you do your prescribed duty properly, then you will actually get a lot of benefit. That is your duty. So earlier, he was instructing based on the knowledge that everyone is an eternal spirit soul. Nobody is going to be finished at the time of death. They are going to take up another body. But now he is going to basically... is going to do a cost-benefit analysis. saying that you are a Kshatriya, if you fight, that you are going to get the benefit. Like few years back, there's one Prabhupada disciple, Chakravarti Prabhu. He had come from Germany. He was telling like how they used to do book distribution in Singapore. So there, like he was giving the example, sometimes when some mundane companies, like suppose your company wants to sell their encyclopedia. Suppose they want to sell. So they'll come to suppose certain family. Suppose the family is, the couples are just newly married. They'll come and tell, we have a 10-year home development program. So why don't you join our program? So they will not directly say that, like we want to sell our encyclopedia. So they want to, they'll present as if that they are going to benefit from the whole thing. So similarly, we are saying that, like, when they were trying to sell Prabhupada's Srimad Bhagavatam set, the 18-volume Srimad Bhagavatam set in Singapore. So in Singapore, like many of the people were, many of them are not Indians, and of course now there may be many Indians, but at that time, 20 years back, many of them were not Indians, and they were trying to sell this Srimad Bhagavatam set. So they would present as if, they would present it as a whole package. A package of more than 7 items. 8 items or more. Because according to the human psychology, 8 is considered to be, if you are selling more than 7 items, that is like considered to be, 8 is considered to be infinity. 8 is a symbol of infinity. So they would sell more than 7 items, at least 8 items or more. So because people have this tendency to see that what I am going to benefit from that. So among those 8 items, one of the items will be the Srimad Bhagavatam set. And then they will sell, one will be Srimad Bhagavatam set, another will be Krishna book. They will sell, it will be good for your children. You can read these stories from the Krishna book when you put your children to sleep in the night. And they'll give some audio CD and different things. So people have the tendency to, they want what is in it for me? So in this way, devotees also use that opportunity so that they can give transcendental knowledge to the person. So here also, Krishna is actually trying to inspire Arjuna to fight by telling him that how it is going to be beneficial if he does his duty of fighting as a Kshatriya. So, if you remember, in the first chapter, 43rd verse, when Arjuna was giving arguments for not fighting, in one of the verses he said, Utsanna kula dharmanam manushyanam janardana narake niyatam vasho bhavatit anushushruma. Arjuna said, when he was giving a series of arguments at how that, when I fight, the women will become unprotected, and then the unscrupulous men will exploit the women, and as a result, unwanted population will come, and they will stop performing their sacrifices, rituals for delivering the forefathers. So then, in this way, Utsanna kula dharmana manushyanam janada. In this way, I will be responsible for stopping the family traditions. So because of that, I will perpetually go to hell. Narake niyatam vasho. Niyatam means perpetually. I will perpetually go to hell. This I have heard from authoritative sources. Bhavatit anushushruma. So in response to that Arjuna's question, here Krishna is saying, actually, this argument of yours, it applies to fighting when a person fights out of ignorance. When a person fights out of ignorance, then he will incur all these sinful reactions. But when a person fights according to the religious principles on the battlefield, then that is beneficial for a Kshatriya. In fact, fighting, that kind of fighting will open a door to victory over the earth. And not only that, when you win the kingdom, you can institute the Kshatriya Dharma in order to protect the Brahmanas, in order to protect the cows, and in order to propagate the Brahmanical culture. So here, Srila Prabhupada is first of all giving the definition of a Kshatriya. Who is actually a Kshatriya? What is the duty of a Kshatriya? Kshatriya means Kshatrayate iti Kshatriya, or one who gives protection from harm. The duty of a Kshatriya is to protect the citizens. So in order to protect the citizens, one may even commit violence, but the purpose is to protect the citizens. Especially today, if you see, for example, in Russia, there is a law that every teenager has to go to army for 2 years, at the age of 18 or 19. So if you want to avoid to go to army, you have to pay a lot of money, or you have to give some medical reason, or you must be saying that I'm already in the college, so I cannot join the army. I already have 2 kids. Something like that, some vague reason one has to give. So, especially in Kali Yuga, the point is that to find a combination of a person who is having the nature of a Kshatriya and also who is having the body of a Kshatriya is very rare. Somebody may be having the nature of a Kshatriya, we may want to fight, but he may be very lean and he may not have any strength. Or somebody may be having a very well-built body, but he may be very soft-hearted and may not want to fight. So in Kali Yuga, actually, it's very difficult to find a proper Kshatriya. And another thing is, actually, Kshatriyas have to be constantly brushing up their warfare skills. they have to constantly practice. We don't find that. In fact, there was one devotee who is doing the service in this temple of security department. He was once telling that how Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Shri Gornitai ki jai, Shri Gopalji ki jai. He was telling that once in the US, in the United States, there is a rule that even if there is no war or something, the police, they have to shoot certain number of bullets every year. May not be at persons, but the point is that they have to practice. If they don't practice, then the guns will become old. When the terrorists come with their rifles, when they try to shoot the terrorists, then they'll not be able to shoot. So that is the rule. Kshatriyas have to be constantly brushing up their warfare skills. So nowadays we don't find that also. And how is actually Kshatriya trained to perform his duty? Prabhupada explains in the purport, in the Vedic culture, a Kshatriya will go to the forest, and then he would fight, he would challenge the tiger, and he would fight face to face with the tiger. And then when the tiger is killed, then that tiger would be cremated royally. So basically the purpose is, because he has to be trained in the fighting, because later on when the war comes, he should be ready, he should be having the practice to protect the citizens. If he does not have the practice, then he will not be able to protect the citizens. So that is why he goes for hunting. Although he is allowed to kill the animals for the sake of practice, but he is not allowed to eat the meat. I remember few years back, there was a news that there was one Bollywood actor, he was going to some Rajasthan or something, he killed some rare animals, and then he was accused of that, and then there was cases were going on for many years, and somehow he dodged himself off. One may justify that. See, even Kshatriyas had the practice of hunting the animals. So what is wrong? One may justify that. But then here it is very clearly said, Kshatriyas would challenge the tiger face to face and then fight with the tiger. Not like you are sitting in some bulletproof jeep and then you are shooting from a distance or something like that. So that is how they would practice. And the purpose is to protect the citizens, to get practice. Not for your own, just for your sense gratification or something. Like, that is the duty of a Kshatriya, to protect the citizens. They have to follow the religious principles. One devotee was giving the example. There was one devotee, he went to one leader in South India, one minister in South India. So he was telling to the minister, see, nowadays the Kali Yuga has become so degraded that people have become like Ravana. They are doing everything just for their own sense gratification. They are ready to do anything for their sense gratification. So then the leader said, so what is wrong with Ravana? After all, he liked a woman and he picked her up. So what is so wrong with him? So the devotee was taken aback. He came and told to another devotee. That another devotee told him, you should have asked the person, what if suppose if you had come and taken your wife, what would you do? Then the devotee said, maybe he's so degraded, maybe he would have said that, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. So that is the nature of the, basically, the present day leaders. But the real Kshatriya is, like, he actually, when the war comes, he would lead the war, and then he would fight with the opponents. He would not be like hiding behind and then like sending his soldiers in the front. So then, next point is, do the Kshatriyas not get sinful reactions for killing? They are killing the animals, but do they not get sinful reactions? So Prabhupada is making it clear that the kings who are actually fighting each other in the battle without turning back from the opponent, for that purpose when they are killing the animals or something, so they will not get sinful reaction. Because the purpose is for a noble cause, to protect the citizens. So Prabhupada says, just like the animals which are killed in a sacrifice, suppose in a bona fide Vedic sacrifice in which animals are sacrificed, so those animals which are sacrificed in those rituals, they actually get promoted to higher species. In fact, it is said, if the sacrifice is successful, you won't even find the burnt flesh of the animal. So that is the purpose of the sacrifice. They actually, in fact, all parties are benefited. The animal which is sacrificed, it gets promoted to a higher species. And because the brahmanas are performing the sacrifice for a noble cause, the whole kingdom is also benefited. So all parties are benefited. Similarly, when the Kshatriya is killing the animal for hunting, the animal also gets benefit. He is cremated in a royal way. And Kshatriyas also get benefit. The citizens also get benefit. So there are only three cases when animal killing is allowed according to the Vedic scriptures. It is said, animal killing is allowed when a brahmana performs sacrifices in which he is sacrificing the animals according to the proper bona fide Vedic injunctions. And the second case is when the Kshatriyas, in order to get training in the battle, when they go to kill the animals. And the third case is, so the first two cases, it is for the benefit of the people. And the third case in which animal killing is allowed is when a person wants to eat animal's meat. When a person wants to eat meat, then he is allowed to eat meat, but he has to follow certain injunctions. According to Vedic scripture, it is said that one has to eat meat only on the day of Amavasya. One has to kill the animal only on the day of Amavasya, only outside the city, and then he has to at the time of midnight, at 12 o'clock in the night, and he has to kill the animal personally. There are so many injunctions. So these injunctions are allowed so that one can eat the animals, but then because there are so many rules and regulations are there, ultimately it will actually give a person understanding that better to actually stop eating meat, because so many rules and regulations are there. So then, Arjuna said also in the same, in the first chapter, he said that there is no benefit in this killing. So, but then here Krishna is saying that when you do this fighting, you will actually go to the heavenly planets. Because you are fighting for the right cause. So violence is not, we are not against violence. Spirituality is not against violence. But violence is allowed only in certain conditions. First of all, have violence, first of all, only a Kshatriya is allowed to fight. Only a Kshatriya is allowed to kill the opponents. Only he can perform violence. And second thing is that it has to be done for the right purpose. Why the Kshatriya should fight? He has to fight for the right cause to protect Dharma. And the third thing is, it should be done under the guidance of a superior. As I Prabhupada writes in the purport, that it should be done under higher authorities. So, it should be, these three conditions have to be satisfied. So, this principle of taking guidance is very important. When we see in the Bhagavad Gita itself, there are two persons who heard the Bhagavad Gita. If you consider three examples, for example, Arjuna heard the Bhagavad Gita, Dhritarashtra heard the Bhagavad Gita, and Sanjaya also heard the Bhagavad Gita. Sanjaya is narrating the whole Bhagavad Gita to Dhritarashtra. So he also heard. But what are the transformation of, in each of them after hearing the Gita? When Arjuna heard the Gita, at the end of the Gita, he says, Nashta moho smritir labdva tvat prasadat mayachyuta. Stitosmi gata sandeha karishye vachanam tava. He says, Nashta moho, my illusion is gone. Smritir labdva, I have regained my memory. Tvat prasadat, by your mercy, mayachyuta. Sitosmi gata sandeha, all my doubts are dispelled. Now I will do whatever you say. So Arjuna is ready to do whatever Krishna says. When Sanjaya heard the Gita, so Sanjaya is telling at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Tachya samsmritya samsmritya, Rajan samsmritya samsmritya, Samvadam imam adbutam, Keshavar junayo punya, Hrishyamicha punapunaha. He says, O Rajan, O King Dhritarashtra, as I remember this wonderful conversation which took place between Krishna and Arjuna, my hairs are standing on end. At every moment I am getting newer and newer pleasure. So, Sanjaya is experiencing great ecstasy after hearing the Gita. But what is the reaction of Dhritarashtra? Dhritarashtra also heard the Gita. But Dhritarashtra, even after hearing the Gita, there is actually no transformation in his heart. In fact, after the battle of Kurukshetra, all the sons of Dhritarashtra were killed. But still, Dhritarashtra was very much attached to the facilities. So, he started living in the palace of Maharaj Yudhishthir. So when actually Bhima came to meet Dhritarashtra, Dhritarashtra was actually having so much of envy towards Bhima, because Bhima was the one who killed all the sons of Dhritarashtra. So he was, when Bhima came to meet him, actually Krishna stopped Bhima, "You don't go." And then Krishna pointed to a pillar, which was a steel pillar, and Krishna told Dhritarashtra, "This is Bhima." Then Dhritarashtra embraced that steel pillar, because he had so much of hatred towards Bhima, and he had great power also. He actually embraced that pillar, and then he actually crushed that pillar into pieces because of the hatred towards Bhima. So he was still having that hatred and envy, was carrying that in his heart. Why was there no transformation in the heart of Dhritarashtra? Because Dhritarashtra did not hear the Gita after surrendering to Sanjaya. On the other hand, Sanjaya heard the Gita because he was a surrendered disciple of Vyasadeva. Sanjaya says in the 18th chapter, Vyasa Prasada Shrutavan Yetad Guhyam Aham Param. By the mercy of Vyasadeva, I was able to hear this wonderful conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. Because he surrendered to Vyasadeva, so he was actually experiencing greater ecstasy after hearing the Gita. Arjuna also surrendered to Krishna, so there was a transformation in his heart. But Dhritarashtra, there was no transformation because he did not surrender to anybody. In fact, Dhritarashtra was a son of Vyasadeva, but Sanjaya was a disciple of Vyasadeva. So who is better, to be a son of a person or to be a disciple of a person? You may be a son of a great personality, but if you are not following the principles of that personality, then there is no use. But you may not be a son of that great personality, but if you are following the principles of that personality, then you may make great advancement. So one has to hear Gita in a submissive spirit. So then, in fact, there was one devotee who was giving the example, like this principle of taking guidance, like once one person was having problem with a printer. So he called the sales representative, said, please, I'm having a problem with my printer. Please come and repair it. Then the sales representative said, you read the manual and you figure it on your own. Then that person said, I'm giving an opportunity for business. Like, why are you denying this opportunity? Then he actually revealed the secret, that if you try to figure out on your own, and then if you try to repair it on your own, then you will actually end up in more problems. Then when you will approach me, then we will make good business. So even for an ordinary printer, if you don't actually take guidance of a proper person, then you will not be able to repair it. But this human body is a perfect and a rare machine. So what to speak of the human body? Without taking guidance from a spiritual mentor, how is it possible to make best use of this human body? So that is why if a person wants to hear Gita, one has to hear in a submissive mood. Krishna says, Tadviddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnanina sattvadarshina. So Krishna says one should approach a spiritual master in a submissive attitude and render service unto him and inquire from him. So he does not recommend blind following, because he is saying that you have to inquire from the person. At the same time, he does not recommend absurd inquiries also. It is not that you just simply keep putting some questions and no mood of submission or no attitude of surrender. So both are required. So then the next verse, the 32nd verse, Krishna is actually telling that if you fight, what will be the result? What will be the benefit? He says, O Partha, happy are the Kshatriyas to whom such fighting opportunities come unsought, opening for them the doors of the heavenly planets. Just like, if a drunkard is called for a party without any effort, he would be like very happy to go. And if, especially suppose, like many people want to enter into the Indian cricket team. Because especially some great players, if they hit 1-4, they make some 1,000 rupees, 2,000 rupees. Like for every run they make, like they make so much of money. So getting into Indian cricket team is like big deal. So if a person says that you are given entry into the Indian cricket team without any effort, then if he is actually trying to play cricket, etc., he would be so happy, isn't it? Similarly, the nature of a Kshatriya is that when he gets a fighting opportunity, he would be very happy. He would be like very thrilled at that opportunity. So Krishna is telling Arjuna that you got such an opportunity. So why are you missing this opportunity? You should be happy for that. In fact, fortunate Kshatriyas obtained such wars with great warriors such as Bhishma, Drona, etc., especially you are getting that opportunity without any effort. And if you are victorious in the battle, then you will get a fame and you will get a kingdom, etc. And if you die in the battle, then because you are right, fighting for the right cause, you will go to the heavenly planets. And if you kill them, even if you are victorious, Krishna is basically putting forward 6 points. First point is saying that, first of all, you should be, Kshatriyas are thrilled at such opportunity for when they get a fighting opportunity. So you should be thrilled. Second is saying that if you win, you will get a kingdom. Third is saying that if you lose, you will go to the heavenly planets. And the fourth point he is saying is that when you win, even the opponents who die in the battlefield, Bhishma, Drona, etc., even they will go to the heavenly planets. Because one of the reason of Arjuna for not fighting is that he was feeling compassionate for Bhishma, Drona, etc. Even they will go to the heavenly planets. And then the fifth point he is saying is that by performing different sacrifices such as Jyotishvama sacrifice, one goes to Swarga, heavenly planets, after a long time. But when a Kshatriya fights in the battle, when he dies, he will go to the heavenly planets immediately. So you will save a lot of time also. And then sixth point he is saying is that as a Kshatriya, it is your duty to fight. Prabhupada is quoting the Parashar Smriti in his purport, say that the duty of a Kshatriya is to fight. So in this way, Krishna is actually giving so many reasons as to what are the benefits if he fights. Through positive, he is inspiring him in a positive way. And then in the 33rd verse onwards, he is telling the faults in not fighting. If you do not fight, what will happen? He is saying that by neglecting the fight, first of all, you will get sinful reaction. Because as Kshatriya, it is duty to fight. If you do not do your duty, you will get sinful reaction. And then somebody may say, okay, even if I get a sinful reaction, sometimes for the reactions to come, it may take a long time. So it's all right. I'll still be able to enjoy. So Krishna is giving the because people who are in the enjoyment mode, they think more about the present. At the present, I'm getting a lot of enjoyment. So in future, if I get some reaction, it's all right. So Krishna is giving one reason that we'll get sinful reaction. But then he's also giving another reason because he may think that, okay, I will wait. After some time, I may get reaction. That's all right. But he's saying that not only you will get sinful reaction, but people will not glorify you. People will speak infamy. They will tell you that you are a coward. They will speak about you because you fled the battlefield. Because of that, they will actually criticize you with such bad words like you are a coward, like that. And for a Kshatriya, infamy is worse than death. So in this way, Krishna is saying. And then, in the next verse, he says, Akirtim chapi bhutani katayishyanti tevyayam sambhavitasya chakirtir maranad atirichyate. People will always speak of your infamy, and for a respectable person, dishonor is worse than death. Krishna is using the word avyayam. Avyayam means continuously. People will speak continuously of your infamy. It is not that they will just speak of your infamy and then they will stop. They will continuously speak of your infamy. Sambhavitasya, they will speak of your great position. So somebody may say, that, like here, somebody may say, Arjuna is a devotee. Why he should be concerned with honor and dishonor? Actually, Arjuna is a devotee. But Krishna is speaking to Arjuna here, not on the transcendental plane of devotional service, but based on Arjuna's Kshatriya spirit. So that is why Prabhupada actually says in the purport that both as a friend and philosopher to Arjuna, Lord Krishna now gives his final judgment regarding Arjuna's refusal to fight. So Krishna is speaking on the, not on the platform of pure devotion, but he is speaking that what are the benefits and what are the reactions if you do not fight. So Arjuna may say that that Krishna is saying that people will call you as a coward, they will speak about your infamy. But then Arjuna says that I can even tolerate infamy, at least I can save my life, isn't it? Because if I fight in the battle, I don't know whether I am going to win or I may die. So better I'll flee from the battlefield. Even if I get some infamy, I will tolerate my infamy. But at least I can save my life. But Krishna says that for a Kshatriya like you, dishonor is worse than death. For a Kshatriya like you, dishonor is worse than death. Because of that, when you flee from the battlefield, you will get ill fame of misusing my friendship. Not only people will talk about you, they will say that you have misused your friendship with me. And they will see that and you lose your prestige in the society. In this way, Krishna is saying. In fact, for a Kshatriya, wounds are like ornaments for a Kshatriya. But dishonor is worse than death for a Kshatriya. So then, in the next verse, Krishna continues to inspire Arjuna by saying that Bayadranat Uparatam Mamsyante Tvam Maharatha Yesham Chatvam Bahumato Bhutva Yasyasi Lagavam. The great generals who have greatly esteemed your name and fame will think that you have left the battlefield out of fear only, and thus they will consider you insignificant. So Arjuna may say that how can I gain infamy from neglecting to fight out of compassion and out of the fear of, out of avoiding sinful reaction. So I am not escaping the battle because of fear of death or because of fear of the opponents. I am actually fleeing the battlefield out of compassion for others. I am escaping the battlefield for a noble reason. And I am escaping the battle because I don't want to get the sinful reaction. So this is a noble reason. So why should they speak of infamy? So Arjuna asks like that. So Krishna is saying, but you may think that you are going out of compassion, but they will not think that you are going out of compassion, because no Kshatriya flees from the battlefield. If a Kshatriya flees from the battlefield, he goes out of only fear only. So they will not think that you are fleeing the battlefield out of compassion. They will think that you are fleeing the battlefield only out of fear. So in this way, Krishna is inspiring Arjuna. In fact, Krishna says, great generals like Duryodhan, Bhima, Bhishma, etc., those who have high regard for you as a warrior, even though you are an enemy, they will no longer give you respect if you give up the battle. At present, they have a great respect for you as a warrior, although you are on the opposite side. But when you flee the battlefield, you will not get the respect. So then, in this way, in this 35th and 36th verse, and the 36th verse, again Krishna is saying that your enemies will describe you in many unkind words and scorn your ability. What could be more painful for you? So in this way, Krishna is attacking Arjuna's compassion. The main reason for Arjuna's first reason was mundane compassion. So Krishna is attacking that region, attacking that reason of Arjuna. So he says that these people, they will call you like a useless person. Just like a barren sesame seed, it is a useless seed. Similarly, Bhishma, Duryodhan, they will say that what a useless person, Arjuna. It will hurt you very much. So what is actually real compassion? Like real compassion, when a person wants to show real compassion, one has to see whether it is actually benefiting the other person. And not only the other person, one has to see whether it is going to benefit the surroundings, the surroundings of the person, and also one has to see that whether it is setting a proper example for others. For example, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was traveling in South India, his personal servant became, Kalakrishnadas became, fell victim to the Bhattaharis. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rescued him from the Bhattaharis, and then when he came back to Jagannath Puri, and then he said no, he rejected him because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to set a proper example. So that is a principle. One has to see the broader perspective to show real compassion. Hate the sin, but do not hate the sinner. So then, in just few minutes, I will just complete it. So then, in the 37th verse, Krishna is saying that, O son of Kunti, either you will be killed on the battlefield and attain the heavenly planets, or you will conquer and enjoy the earthly kingdom. Therefore, get up with determination and fight. So Arjuna is saying that, I am giving up the battle because it is uncertain that I will, whether I will be victorious or not. So that is why I am giving up the battle. But then Krishna is saying that, that's all right, but if you fight the battle, if you win the battle, you will get an earthly kingdom. If you lose the battle, you will go to heavenly planets. So you should fight. And then finally, the 38th verse, Krishna is saying, Sukhe dukhe same kritva labha labho jaya jayo tato yuddhaya yujasva naivam papam avapsyasi. Fight for the sake of fighting without considering happiness or distress, loss or gain, victory or defeat, and by so doing you shall never incur sin. So Arjuna may say, what you said is, you said that by not fighting, I will get sinful reaction. But still, I should not fight. Because sin will come because I am fighting with my teachers and grandfathers. By not fighting, I will get sin. But even by fighting with, by killing my teachers and grandfathers, then also I will get sin. So better I will not fight. So Krishna is saying, so that is not like that. It is not so. If you fight with the desire for liberation, if you fight without any desire for personal sense gratification, then even though you fight with your superiors, still you will get liberation. That's why Krishna is saying, just fight for the sake of fighting. Do not consider happiness or distress. So in this way, Krishna is trying to inspire Arjuna. In fact, Prabhupada writes in the purport, just want to read this. Prabhupada is saying, there is no consideration of happiness or distress, profit or gain, victory or defeat in the activities of Krishna consciousness. Everything should be performed for the sake of Krishna, is transcendental consciousness. So there is no reaction to material activities. He who acts for his own sense gratification, either in goodness or in passion, is subject to the reaction, good or bad. So Krishna, Prabhupada is presenting the whole Krishna conscious philosophy. That one has to fight, one has to do one's duty because for the pleasure of Krishna. So work is, sometimes people have the concept that work is worship. If work is worship, then we should worship as the God, because he is performing the great hard work. So that is a wrong philosophy. One should work for the pleasure of Krishna. So Krishna is ultimately, from 31 to 37, Krishna is trying to inspire Arjuna based on the, by telling the benefits of fighting and what are the results if he does not fight. He's saying that you will go to the heavenly planets, and if you do not fight, you will get sinful reactions. But then the 38th verse, Krishna is giving the ultimate reason. Just fight for the sake of fighting. Do not worry about happiness or distress. So ultimately, Arjuna was inspired by this particular desire of Krishna. Arjuna ultimately fought the battle not because he was motivated to get to get some personal benefit. Ultimately, he fought the battle in order to satisfy Krishna's desire for the pleasure of Krishna. So that is revealed in this verse of 38. So this 38th verse is the transition between Sakama Karma and Nishkama Karma. Sakama Karma means a person is doing an activity in order to get some result out of it for a personal benefit. But Nishkama Karma means like he is doing the activity regardless of the result. He does not worry whether he'll get happiness or distress. So in this 38th verse, Krishna is making the transition from Sakama Karma to Nishkama Karma. So in the future verse, from verse number 39 on the next section, Krishna will speak more about this path of Nishkama Karma Yoga. How can a person perform a work for the pleasure of Krishna without any desire for personal profit, and what are the glories of this particular path. So that Krishna is going to speak upon in the future verses. So I think it is 8:35. So we'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.